Welcome to the podcast, the Student Mindset Podcast. I got a good friend here, Jordan Nordlum. Did I pronounce the last name correctly?
You did it perfectly. Okay. That's right. I always tell people it's like Nordstrom, but it's Nordlum. And we do shop at Nordstrom, so that's great too.
There you go. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I'm so, grateful and honored that you're here. I know you got some good things to talk about, and I kind of want to just introduce you to the world. And I want to kind of hear about your mindset, the way you think about things and business, entrepreneurship, marriage life. I'm a young married person myself. So I'm here to listen and learn, through good conversation. So appreciate you being here.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me. And I'm excited to learn. I love that this podcast is all about student leadership and mindsets. And so for me, I'm like, let's jump in together. Let's learn together. I'm here to teach, preach, but I'm definitely here to listen. So I'm excited about it.
Let's go. All right. So let's just kind of dive into it. I didn't really know much about your background and like kind of where you're from and, what your growing up was like in high school. Kind of tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. We'll start there for sure. Well, kind of jumping into kind of my upbringing, the biggest thing for me was kind of growing up was basketball. I was a full on basketball nut, if you will. I would play year round. You'd catch me at 24 hour fitness, all 24 hours. I would literally be there from 6 a.m. to midnight. And so kind of growing up for me, I was just kind of with the basketball in my hand all the time. I was definitely an athlete. A lot of people I knew, were multi-sport, but I was so focused on basketball growing up. Came from a really solid family. What's crazy about our family specifically is we weren't Christians up until maybe when I was about 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I remember my auntie brought us to church, or at least I mentioned it to my family. Up until that point, we were pretty much just agnostic. We didn't really know much about God. Didn't really know much about, I guess you could say, faith, Jesus, anything. And so up until
Where did you grow up at?
Yeah, I grew up in Portland, Oregon. Yeah,
Portland.
Yeah, I grew up in Portland, rep the hometown, go Blazers.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Having a rough season, but okay. But yeah, grew up in Portland, Oregon, and a little town called Oregon City. And so a place where you could pretty much drive to Portland and be in the city, but also 30 minutes down the road, you could take your shoes off and get down in a creek somewhere and grab a crawdad. So it's kind of fun. Definitely grew up on the countryside, which is cool. But yeah, grew up basically kind of in that place where didn't really know faith until I was about 8 or 9 years old. And then radically just let the Lord did something really cool in my heart. Just really had a one-on-one encounter with Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, if you're in faith at all, there's that one moment where you really come to know who he is. And so I had that not only in a church, but had it kind of in my own life. And really started to kind of see leadership tendencies in me, which is really cool. And so kind of growing up in high school, was going down the basketball track like crazy. Was definitely pursuing kind of hopefully, playing in college. And my dream was to play in the NBA or at least overseas. And then ended up having I think it was 15 years old freshman year. It was an open gym. And I came down wrong on my knee from blocking somebody. And I tore my meniscus like that at 15. Yeah. And I remember being so broken, so distraught. I couldn't play the whole season. Ended up being kind of a string of injuries that kind of took me throughout my whole high school career. I played my sophomore year, and then my junior year, I had the same injury happen again. And then again, at the end of junior year, again, the third time. And so I had knee surgery 3 times to repair a meniscus in my same leg in a period of about 2 years, 2.5 years. And so, something that was so precious to me got ripped away really, really quickly. And early on. And so, by God's grace, the kind of story for me is in college, actually, I was able to, out of my whole high school team, which I didn't play very much because of the injury, I was actually the only player to actually play in college basketball, which is by God's grace. Dude, I don't know how. Three surgeries later. Yeah, through so many different knee surgeries and so many different opportunities, God literally graced me the opportunity to somehow, some way, be seen by some awesome coaches in an AAU league. Traveling around in LA and Vegas through the time
what is that league?
It's called AAU. It's basically a traveling team you could join, and it's across the country. But it's some of the most, you know, some of the most epic basketball players come through AAU, just because it's kind of like a club team, if you will, outside of school. But anyways, got getting signed to a JUCO, if you will, in San Jose. So at 18, I moved out. It wasn't a thing where I didn't, you know, like my parents, or I was out and I was upset. No, it was like, I love you, mom, dad, but I'm out. And so they helped me financially kind of get down to the Bay Area. And I played at a college called West Valley for 2 years and loved every second of it. It's definitely, obviously, college is, you know, college ball is a lot more difficult than high school. So I did ride the bench a little bit, but I had an awesome season my sophomore year. And honestly, what's so cool about it, Zoe, is I didn't even see my trainer. Who would take care of our team in college. Like, my knee was literally, if you want to say it, was healed. I hadn't had any issues at any point injuries? In college. No injuries, sprains, no ankle injuries, no, like, even broken finger or, you know, whatever, jammed finger. And so it's crazy. I played a really successful, 2 years at a JUCO and kind of went from there. So, and then, yeah, and then I transferred over to GCU, Los Up. For all my GCU words.
GCU.
Come on, rep it. And then, that's kind of where, I guess I could say I landed a plane. I really felt like...
you played there too?
Actually, fun story. I tried out a GCU. I tried out a GCU. My heart going into it was like, hey, there's 60 guys in this gym. They're all really athletic. They're all really good. GCU was D1. It was D2, but it was going to D1. 2 years before that. And I said, you know what, God, if this is you, then make it happen. And so I went to the very final two guys in the gym. They were like basically sending guys home based off of whatever, you know, skill level. And it was me and this other guy, and he was about 6'5", and he was doing windmill dunks. Kid you not. And I was in the corner, and I had never shot better in my life. Three pointers, everything, yeah. Jumpers.
Oh, I remember. I know your three pointers.
Yeah. Oh, bro, I'm telling you right now. I was mind blown about how well I was shooting in the tryout, because the guys were like, this guy's really good. But I'm like, I'm not that good. Like, I'm good, but I'm like, this is insane. And I remember getting to the final, kind of like, I guess you could say tryout. It's just me and this other guy. And they said, hey, you guys aren't 6'10". We're looking for people who are, you know, centers who are 6'10". Like, we take you guys, but you're not 6'10". And so we were pretty distraught, both of us. But it was a cool moment for me, because I felt a peace in my heart knowing, hey, I spent my whole life going through injury after injury. After depressing moment after depressing moment, letdown after letdown. But this moment was really cool for me, because I got a chance to play along, you know, D1 players, and I knew I wasn't that caliber, but I knew God gave me this piece that's like, that was the end of the line, at least in that aspect of being a student athlete at that school. And so for me, it was a really, really cool moment, because I had made it, but I didn't necessarily need to make the team to feel like I made it, if it makes sense. Yeah. So that'll preach a little bit. So that's my story. I was actually studying business at West Valley, and so we'll talk about that a little bit later. And definitely transitioned kind of my life and my heart over to ministry, and was studying to be a youth pastor / just kind of an executive pastor, and got, you know, basically fell madly in love with the church and what God could do through an ordinary person like me. So that's kind of the background, I guess, if you will.
If I can interrupt for a little bit, I kind of want to go, you know, I love talking about mindset and, you know, definitely it's for the beneficial of myself and the audience. Yeah. But if we can go to, you said something that sparked something in my mind. We said you went through like some depressing moment after depressing moment.
Yeah.
I know for sure, you know, many of us go through the same thing, but you know, what did that feel like after injury and what kept you going and what kept you motivated, should I say, to keep going to the point where you were one of the two guys that could have made it on, you know, D1 basketball team?
That's a good question. Great question, man. I think anybody who would be, you know, in a sport or has, you know, strived for something their whole life knows what it feels like to put so much effort into something and then maybe not really I guess you could say achieve that thing that you're really hoping that you would achieve for. Could be a job, could be a sport, could be a relationship, whatever it may be. But for me, and you probably can put yourself in the same situation. You put your whole life into it. In one moment, felt something in my knee shift and pain kind of follow that. It's like everything just goes in the trash. And as a 15-year-old, you know, I remember thinking to myself, it's over at an early age. But I remember, you know, many times, like you said, being in a dark place, even after that, you know, a day after that, a week after that moment where you're one moment you're running and you're at the best of your ability, and the next moment you're barely can walk, and if you can, it's in, you know, severe pain. One moment, I remember playing basketball, and 18 hours later, I didn't even know, but I'd be on an operating table and under the knife.
Wow.
You know, and it's like these moments in life, you don't see them coming, but they just happen out of nowhere. And so kind of to answer your question, man, what kind of kept me going, obviously, like, I'm a man of faith, like, being in God's presence was everything for me. You know, I think being around people that loved me and were supportive of me, and my gifting and my talent and all those other things, which really pushed me, you know, forward, which is awesome, versus coming back to a place where I, after my first knee surgery, I could have just been done, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, you know,
I mean, there's, I could say there's probably different avenues, different roads you could have chosen, you know, being young and,
sure.
and could have went a totally different path, you know, so
yeah.
to end up keep going. And that's awesome.
Yeah. And again, it's all by God's grace. And obviously it's his divine design, you know, for my life specifically, but I was too obsessed, and I was too on mission, if you will, to not keep going. You know, I wouldn't leave the team when I got injured. I would stay with the team. I'd be watching practices. I'd be involved. My mind would be mentally in practice, right? My body wouldn't physically be there, but my mind would be there. I knew the plays better than anybody else. I was keeping score. I did stats, you know, I did stats for the team or score clock or whatever. But I was there, but I just wasn't physically there. And so, I guess advice to anybody who being in that situation, like, just come back to that understanding that says, who can I get around, support system in my life? Don't do life alone. That can hopefully help my heart, my mind, my spirit continue on that thing, that dream, that ambition, that thing that God put in you. You know, I think this is a good way to put it too. Like, if that desire is something that you think about all the time, it's probably not just you that put it there.
Come on.
Like, that's probably a good way to put it. You know, like, if it really is something you think about all the time, and it keeps you up late, not like freaks you out or makes you anxious, not that, but like keeps you up late because you're excited about it and you're passionate about it. It's probably God, you know?
That's very important though, too.
Yeah.
Is that distinctness, right?
It's like,
it's something you're obsessing over. That's not making you feel a certain way that you're anxious and like
right.
nervous about or even afraid of, but
right.
maybe that excited feeling in your gut.
Yeah, exactly.
Chase that.
Exactly. Yeah. And it cuts through all adversity too. The heart and the hope behind, hey, maybe one day I can stand and play again. It gets you excited, and you'll do anything for it. You'll go through physical therapy 3 times, like I did, you know, to rehab that knee. You know, you'll be doing wall sits at midnight just to get that thing back to a place where you can, you know, continue the journey. And so for me, yeah, in short, it was cool for me in that moment, you know, at GCU at that tryout, to feel I completed something without fully the way that the world wants it to see, like, you know, the story people will think that should happen is that I made the team and we went on to win the championship and I had the winning bucket, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way the world has success, you know? But for me, I was smiling when I walked out of the gym, you know? The other guy next to me he was upset, you know? But for me, I was smiling because I was like, I played the best basketball in front of the best coaches, in my opinion, the best college in the country. And it was a no, but it was also a yes. Like, God brought me here, and it's so cool. So.
I love it, man. Thanks for recapping that.
Yeah.
So now you're in college. I mean, you did business and we know what brought you back to San Jose and where are we at from there? So we got the
Yeah. Well, I hope y'all like love stories because this is where wifey comes in. So
let's go.
So yeah, long story short, love stories are never really short, or they're a long story, right?
Love story short.
Yeah, love story short. There you go. That's good. You got to coin that. It's actually pretty cool. It's funny. So, you know, this is kind of a funny story. But I ended up meeting my wife. I've been married for almost 6 years. So golf clap to me. I'm an expert. So there you go. I met my wife, I'm just going to say it, on Instagram. Okay, so thank you, Instagram. Appreciate you.
The DMs are open.
Yeah, I literally, I actually slid into my wife's DMs. This is a true story. I kid you not. I had a roommate in college when I was at West Valley for 2 years playing JUCO basketball. And I turned to my friend. I saw on Instagram. This is like early days of Instagram. So it was like you just kind of scrolled and that was it. You know, I saw pictures and that was it. And I scrolled and I didn't know whose profile it was, but it was my friends that had moved from San Jose to Phoenix to go to GCU a year before. And I saw he was in a group photo with a bunch of, you know, young adults. And I looked and I saw this girl, very pretty, blonde girl, blue, you know, blue eyes. And I was like, wow, she's really pretty. Clicked on her profile. And I kid you not, I turned to my roommate. I remember this like yesterday. We were watching Fast and the Furious. And I turned to him and I said, hey, bro, this is my future wife. And I kid you not, to this day, we still talk about it and we laugh about the story. But he told me, no, bro, there's no way. He said, there's no way that's your wife. He's like, you're a solid six. You're he's a solid 10. Don't do that. So that's a real bro right there. Right? I'll tell you straight up. And it was true. It was true. Yeah. And I was like, but bro, what if? And so I messaged my guy. I said, hey, who's this girl? Obviously, got a little bit of a scoop on her. She said she's part of the young adult ministry, whatever, here in Phoenix. And ended up getting to a place, dude, where I like had the nerve to actually got to the point where I was like so excited but so nervous, and but I actually slid into her DMs. I said something like, hey, I saw that she was a worship leader. So I said, hey, I love your music. I'm a big fan. Like this really weird cheesy thing. I said something like, revival's coming to Phoenix. I'm so excited. I want to be part of it. We should connect sometime for coffee or whatever. And long story short, y'all, like, she ghosted me entirely.
No
response, nothing. Like, she should have, though. Like, she shouldn't have messaged me back, right?
Yeah.
But, dude, yeah, it's crazy. So I end up moving to Phoenix, go to the same church my buddy was at, which is where she was, coincidentally, and ended up being there on a Sunday. And she said, hey, like, would you like a tour? And so I was with a few guys. And she took us on a tour, and I'm not kidding you, the rest was
history. Did you remember?
Of course I remember. Yeah,
of course you remember.
I was so nervous even going up there because I was like, I'm literally a stalker. Like, I'm her stalker. I'm so nervous. And she knew too. Later on, she told me, she's like, she knew too. But she's just so nice and friendly. She didn't want to like make a scene. And so she said yes to taking us on a church tour. The church is really big, so she took us on like a 30-minute tour. And we ended up basically in the next 3 or 4 months serving together at the same church and youth ministry. And within, I think it was 5 months from the day I met her, we were officially boyfriend and girlfriend. Come okay. on, Lord, you can do it. You can do all things. But yeah, so basically, thank you, Instagram, because I would thank not have known my wife without that. But yeah, so we actually got a chance to do youth ministry together and kind of, I guess you could say, serve together in the church, which is a big part of my background. As well as hers. And then we got married about a year, I mean, about 13, 14 months later, which is crazy fast. We were young, we were in love. And Zoe, you know this, when you know who your girl is. And for those ladies out there, you'll know when you know who your dude is. So we just knew, and, we ended up getting married. And what's even kind of crazier to the story, I moved around a lot, in the last few years, my wife and I. But we felt a call from the Lord, just a simple way to put it, in our hearts, kind of deep down, one of our desires was to be part of a church plant. And so we got a chance to actually move to Texas, literally like the next week after we got married. So we got married in Phoenix, and it was basically our wedding and going away party because we felt just like, you know what, God's bringing us to go to Texas. And we moved to Austin, Texas as soon as our honeymoon was over. We got our U-Haul. We moved everything. And so we went there. We were there for about a year and planted ourselves at a church called Planet Shakers, which was an awesome experience, just really a pioneering kind of a young adult ministry in a college town. And so go UT. I didn't go to UT or University of Texas, but go Longhorns. Okay.
There you go.
So it's kind of the same thing, but it's not. So love that. But yeah, all that to say, we actually got a call about a year into that Texas season from a really good friend of mine named Chase Wiggins, who's a young adult pastor and now awesome worship pastor. He wishes he was a worship pastor. awesome lead pastor at Vibe Church. He called me and said, hey, man, there is a position open. As a youth pastor, we'd love to have you, you know, interview for it. And so honestly, water under the bridge, I basically came back to the church I was at in college playing basketball. And instead of like being the basketball kid that would come on Sundays, I ended up being the youth pastor there. And my wife and I both. And we got to see God really move in a really cool way in that season. And though you got to be part of a little bit of that too, which is super cool. But we were there for 4.5 years, which is crazy.
Yeah,
I got to see God do some incredible things, and really, and more than anything, see really a youth culture be flipped upside down, and really see people on fire for faith again. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a believer on the podcast or you're not, there was something really cool that happened, and I think we all can say that, man, when you get young people together and they're unified under one name or under one sport, under one thing together, there's power there. And we got to really see youth come together in a time and an age and a season, if we're being honest, during COVID that was really dark, where people really needed people. And so we had to see people really come together and really lean on each other. And that was incredible to be part of. And so that's kind of, I guess, up to date. But I can tell you about my current season, which I'm excited to tell you about. But I don't know if there's a question lurking in the background.
Yes, yeah, yes. One, let's, if we can pivot real quick to this. Mm-hmm. To this quick question, we don't have to spend too much time on it. But I'm curious on, you know, what made you make that decision of I want to go into ministry and I want to be a leader. Did someone tell you you were a leader before? Did you always knew you were a leader? And why youth ministry? Like, you know, all of all things. And it just, if I guess what I'm going at is like when people are making life decisions like that, how do you make that happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's funny you asked that because just recently I kind of asked myself that. I actually kind of did some soul searching just recently and kind of asked myself, hey, why do I want to be a pastor? And why specifically, why did I start as a youth pastor? And it actually found that it kind of comes from high school a little bit. And maybe, you know, any Christians on the podcast, shout out to you. Maybe you can relate. But growing up in high school or any college or any I guess you say, environment that isn't necessarily agreeing with you in your belief system. This will speak to you. I grew up, like I said, in Oregon, and my high school, I think it was like, I want to say 3,000 students. It was big. And my graduating class was like 600-700. And I knew of about four Christians in my school, and only one or two, not including me, were pretty serious about their faith. And so it kind of came back to me of why I wanted to be a pastor, why I wanted to really like be a leader in the church is because I so badly saw the need for it. It was a heart matter for me. It was a personal heart cry that God called me to. Just like some people are called to be doctors and leaders and pastors or lawyers or, you know, in politics. It was a call on my life personally. Some people talk about the moment, you know, Lorenzo, like, God, there was like an altar moment. You know,
God ran your phone.
Right. I didn't have that. So to encourage some people out there, you know, leaders, pastors, worship leaders, whatever it is, evangelists, I didn't have a specific moment, but I had a season where God really highlighted me where I would speak, people would listen. And it would kind of throw me off, right? It would be like, oh, and they'd say, well, that's wise. That's wisdom. Or, hey, that's good. You're meant to be a leader. And so it was almost like God was reaffirming me in those times, which is really cool. But there was a personal, you know, cry on my heart for that. But specifically, kind of to get to your point, the biggest reason why I want to be a youth pastor and pastor and leader was because I so badly, this is going to sound kind of funny, but I'm going to say it. I so badly wanted to prove to the world that Jesus was the best thing, the best decision, the best place you could be. Mm-hmm. Like that, like even down to like church, right? I grew up in kind of a church. So I was like, ooh, I don't know if I want to go to church. It's going to get a little weird tonight. You know, like the pews, the way people think it is. It smells weird. The old people with like, they got crackers and it just, it's like, what's going on, right? So I grew up in a few churches like that. Small churches, big churches, it didn't matter. It was a little weird for me. But I so badly believe that if we really believe Jesus is the best thing, this goes for anybody on the podcast. Mm-hmm. If we really believe Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, the best thing we could ever experience in our life, he is salvation, he is life, then it should be, and it should be experienced as the best thing ever, right?
Right.
But too often we don't see it as that. We prefer Netflix over our Bible, you know. We prefer, you know, a party over going to church. And so I so badly, as a youth pastor, wanted to implement that we're not trying to fake it, but we really do believe that if we say Jesus is the best thing in the world and we give our lives to him, we should be having the most fun. We should be having the best parties. We should have the best food, the best lights, the best music, everything, right? And the world should look at us and say, whoa, I want in on what's happening in the church. And so for me, it was like my heart, and it kind of goes back to even where I'm at today, where it's like I so badly want to devote my life to not making the church look good. I'm not into that. We don't have time for that. But showing the world through tasting and seeing, like the Bible talks about a little bit, that when you actually experience Jesus, but like you can't untaste it, you can't unsee it. It's the same reason we like Chick-fil-A, right? Like once you taste Chick-fil-A, you've tasted and you've seen. Like, you're not going to go to Popeyes. Oh, hello. Come on. Like, you're not going to go somewhere else. Like, you've seen the best. You've tasted the best. So that's kind of my heart is, like, I've tasted Jesus. I know that he is the best thing in this world. And so I personally was like, I want to give my life to it. And so, yeah.
That's amazing, man. Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's transition. I know we might be saving people today on this podcast, but...
Come on, please, let's go.
But, yeah, your current season and your current decision, what are you wearing on your head right now? Let's get into that.
Come on, let's talk about it. Okay, yeah, so like I talked about kind of earlier on, I was definitely, before God really got a hold of my heart and things like that, I was definitely focused on all business. Kind of growing up in Oregon, I fell in love with Nike. Nike's headquarters is in Portland. And so I just really fell in love with, like, sports culture. If you didn't know, you know, just recently, over the next, I guess, the last 10 years, sports culture really has taken on a form for not just performance, but also, I guess you could say, streetwear, which is kind of the way people call it. And I always had a love for boutiques. I always had a love for fashion up until you know, high school, college. And so I always had a desire in my heart with leadership, you know, also mixed with business to start my own brand. So, yes, I have my own brand. It's called Sunday Juice Box. I hope that you guys go check it out. It's awesome. I get excited about it not because I want your money, but I honestly, truly love making apparel. I love fashion. I love how it's transformed people's lives. I don't do this in vain by any means, but it is a totally a fun outlet and definitely something that I get excited about. It just kind of in short, Sunday Juice Box, like what the heck does that mean?
So like, how'd you even get the name?
Let's talk about it.
There's kind of a
fun few ways I got into it. Just so you guys know, it's a streetwear brand. We basically sell everything. We sold skateboards like a month ago. We sell hoodies. Our quality is unmatched. I'm calling it out. But what's awesome about it is I was thinking through brands a little bit, and this is kind of unfiltered information. Oh, look at that. He's showing it up. Let's go. Sunday Juice Box. But I was thinking through brand names a lot, and I'm definitely methodical. I'm a type A person. I'm really trying to make sure the right name kind of goes into what we're doing. I'm also very original, so I wanted to make sure it was something that someone hadn't ever thought of before, ever. And so I've always loved the words. It's going to sound funny. I've always loved the word Sunday, juice, and box. I don't know what it is. I just always love. There's certain words you're just like, that's a cool world, word, right? And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to put this into a brand that isn't just three cool words, but has meaning behind it. And so coming from my background in faith, I love Sundays, right? Sundays are what I would consider the best day of the week, right? Yeah. I love Mondays, and I've learned to love Mondays because it gets you into the grind. I love Saturdays because you get a chance to really relax. But Sundays, there's something about coming together that is just powerful. Whether you come together with your family or whether you come together with your church family, that's great. But for me, Sundays have been epic. So I decided, you know what, let's build a brand around a day of the week that really is, in my opinion, the best day of the week. So our kind of motto is, on Sunday, we drink juice. What does drinking juice mean? It means doing what you love. On Sunday, we drink juice. That might even mean communion for some Christians. That's great. And that's kind of a little plug, you know, for some Christian shout out to y'all. But more than anything, you know, you're drinking juice to be playing football, watching football, you know, snacking on the weekends. You're hanging with the friends and with the homies, going to see a movie, whatever it is. But the whole brand is focused around community and really showing the world, hey, like on one day, hopefully we call it the best day of the week. Like, let's get together, let's have unity, and let's rock some super dope merch. So yeah, we sell everything. It's awesome. Zoe's rocking the hat right now. Shout out to you. Thanks, bro, for supporting.
Yes, sir, man.
You can find us on Instagram, all those good things. If you're looking for a brand that's quality, but also could fit in your budget, hit us up because that's where it's at. But we make everything. We have like basically four drops a year. We call them boxes. Go figure. And it's awesome. And we're doing, we got excited. Me and Zoe got excited before this podcast. We got a golf drop. So if you're a golfer, let me know. Slide into our DMs. Apparently, I know a lot about DMs, right? slide into our DMs. Let us know what you think about everything.
DMs are open.
That's right. We're doing basically a drop for the Masters. So if you're a golfer, great. If you're not, you can just like fast forward to this part. I'm kidding. But yeah, definitely. It's always been in my heart to start a brand. It's been going for about a year. And my goodness, y'all, I've been mind blown with what God's done through the business, both physically and spiritually, which has been great.
So what made you do four boxes a year instead of doing open shop?
Yeah.
Just come by.
Yeah.
There might be new, you know, collections and things like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting choice. I actually really liked it. I liked it because to me, it's almost like this exclusivity to it.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't get that right now because it's locked.
Yep, yep. So I got up this morning at 6:59 a.m. because I wanted to get some J's. And at 7:02 a.m., I did not get those J's. A lot of people know what I'm talking about. Some people have no idea what I'm talking about. And the reality behind it is I was, you know, I was a marketing major, or at least pursuing to be a marketing major for 2 years in college through my prereqs. And we know supply and demand is powerful, right? I think that it's important to recognize that, you know, even down to some of the awesome brands, Off-White and Fear of God, and obviously some nice Nikes and some Adidas and Yeezys, things like that, there is something to be said about scarcity does create value. And that's just always been a thing across the board. That's why not everyone has diamonds on their wrists or on their neck or on their hand, right? Because there's scarcity and there's value attached to that. And so the reason why we decided to kind of do like four drops, if you will, a year, does go to scarcity, but it also goes to kind of a really cool, awesome aspect of production for us too. We like to put a lot of intentionality into packaging and even into production, kind of on the back end. If you've ever bought something from us, you would already know that you're not going to just get your goods in some random bag. You're going to get it and it's going to have some intentionality to it. And so we don't want to just like kind of space that out through time. We want to have it almost be an intentional season and moment that like, oh wow, you were part of Sunday Juice Box 2 on February 2021. Like you're part of like that really early OG crew, you know, that had that specific hoodie or a specific t-shirt. So it kind of goes back to that unity of things, you know. I'm going back to that aspect of family and kind of progressing forward. And so we want people to step into moments. And obviously, it's always good, too, if you're a business owner, give it a shot. It might surprise you. It might freak you out because your shop's not always open. But it might surprise you that all of your customers actually might all buy it once, which would help you and your product costs. And it would definitely go through the roof. So that's always a good little practical note, too.
What would you say to a person that is thinking about starting a business but not knowing how to go about it?
I would say start it. Start it. I know it sounds super cliche, but I kicked around for about a year. This is a true story. The name, and just to kind of let you all know, Sunday Juice Box was almost called Sunday School. Almost called it Sunday School, but it really felt in my heart, hey, that's not it. Sorry, I almost coughed. And so I said, you know what? I am going to officially say I'm going to go back to the drawing board. And so I kicked it around for honestly too long, but I stumbled upon Sunday Juice Box. I loved it. I felt like it was right. And I just started. Start wherever you want to. If you get caught up in, if you're not good at numbers and you get caught up in kind of budget, things like that, don't start there. Mm-hmm. Start in design. I'm more of a design guy. I see things through design, like this hat and other things I've designed. Which I'm also a designer, and maybe you're partnered with somebody who does kind of everything. I'm kind of I guess, jack of all trades. And so for me, I start with what I'm really good at. So I start with design. I start with kind of getting a mood board, I guess you will, or at least just some color schemes together. And then I will jump into finances and kind of do that, the dirty work, if you will. If you're good at finances and then you want to figure out how much money you can make and then make a t-shirt, great, go from there. But start where you can, start with comfortable for you, and then venture into it, get some momentum, and then get into it.
All right, so we're plugging it in the notes, shouting it out on IG, chop it up. What's the website?
SundayJuiceBox.com. There's only one. Come on.
And where can they follow you, Jordan?
Follow me at SundayJuiceBox. That's it on Instagram, and then you can hit me up to Jordan Nordblum. Again, there's only one SundayJuiceBox. There's only one Jordan Nordblum. So there you go.
Not Jordan Nordstrom.
Not Nordstrom, yeah. Although Nordstrom's great, and maybe we'll be there one day. Hey, come on.
All right. As we kind of transition and wrap up here,
yeah, sure.
I got just a couple of short questions. Here's a fun one. What are you listening to in music-wise right now?
Guys, I cannot. I'm gonna be judged for this. I cannot stop listening to Kanye and Donda. I don't know what it is.
Wait, Donda 1 or Donda 2?
You know, it's funny you say that because I actually really love Donda 1.
I'm not gonna lie, I really love Donda 1. I haven't got to listen to Donda 2 yet because it's not out on everywhere yet.
Right, but they also did a deluxe to Donda 1 too. And I love the original mix and even the way they float it. So that's definitely like up there. I'm not listening to it every single day, but it's definitely like if I wanna bump in my car, I'm putting on Kanye. And that's not always been a thing. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I'm trying to think, what do I really love? For some of my Christians out there, if you haven't listened to it, look at the Belonging Co. Crazy great worship team out of Nashville, Tennessee. Fantastic. There's an album called Here. H-E-R-E. Here. Really good. So, yeah.
All right. Who's one of your inspirations, I could say, in streetwear? Because you talked about streetwear and...
yeah.
What do you got?
That's tough. Honestly, I think that there's definitely quite a few legends that have revolutionized the industry. Obviously, Kanye's up there. But I think personally, just based off who I am and stuff, I think Jerry Lorenzo is a great example. Mm. Fear of God. The way that he was able to and is able to, you know, came into Nike and revolutionized what they did and brought some different level of quality to Nike was epic. And I know he's about to do that with Adidas as well. Now that he's on that team, but if you've ever bought something from Essentials from PacSun or whatever, there's a reason why you treat that piece of clothing differently than the other ones. Mm. And that goes back to Jerry Lorenzo and his intentionality for quality and everything that there is design wise. I know for me, I only have a few pieces of Fear of God, but when I do, wear them, it's a big deal for me because I'm like, I washed this, I dried this, I made sure it looks nice. And it's special. So there is definitely some love for Jerry Lorenzo, and he's also a believer, which is even better. So,
if you could put anything on a billboard, what would you put for people to see and why?
Oh, that's a big one. I like that. Well, if it's anything, and obviously you've heard this podcast for now the last 30 minutes. I'm obviously a faith guy, so I feel like it'd have to be. Related to my faith, but I guess I'll talk about this for a second, that one of my biggest heart cries for, if you're a believer or not, is that people would know that the gospel is not casual. And I think that people have been hurt by that quite a bit. And I'll explain it real quick in detail. Casual is sitting on my couch on Saturday. Mm. Casual is me, wearing sweats and not doing much and just kind of, chilling. And unfortunately, I think that we as Christians have taken a radical message of Christ and making it casual, meaning that we just kind of accept it as whatever. Jesus saved me from my sins. That's great. And so I would want, in love, to put on a billboard that the gospel isn't casual. It's not meant for us just to kind of accept his precious gift of his life and say, thanks so much, right? If someone gave their life for you that you knew on your family, you wouldn't take it casually. You would be like, this is radically insane. And you tell everybody about it. And so for my heart cry, personally, it'd be that this gospel, this good news about Jesus is not, there's no way I'm going to ever take it casually. I'm going to take it radically and make sure there's power and behind it. So, yeah.
I love it. What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Ooh, ever received. Presence is powerful. I'll describe it.
Elaborate for me, please.
Who you're around, y'all, is so key. You've heard it a thousand times from your five friends, right? And I'll show you the next 5 years of your life. But truly, whether believer or not, whoever you're around, you're going to start looking like. So if you don't like who you're looking, who's around, you don't like how they walk, how they talk, how they dress, take a look. And say, who are my friends? In all honesty, I had to reevaluate even my close relationships and friendships over the last 2 years. And there's nothing wrong with people who maybe aren't as close to me now or whatever. But there is such intentionality around who you hang out with. I heard it say one time too, and I'll kind of finish here, is that don't be the smartest person in the room. Mm. Don't be the dumbest person in the room either. Don't do that. Right?
I never heard the first one.
Don't be that either. But don't get to the point where you're like, I made it. I'm leading this place or this room or this friend group, and I don't need to listen to anybody. That's not it. Mm-hmm. I didn't come here today to just preach or talk. I came here to listen as well as learn. And I'm excited about the feedback of this as well. And so there's definitely, I would always say, presence is powerful. Who you hang around, obviously, it goes back to our faith as well in Christ. If you want to get to know Jesus more, give him a shot, right? Mm. Get in his presence. If you haven't talked to God in a long time, give it a shot. Get in his presence. And so presence is powerful.
Do you read at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I read.
What's one of your favorite books?
I read, but I don't read enough. Okay. I obviously, yes. Easy. Read the Bible. Done. But you know, it's funny. You guys are going to really laugh. The first thing that came to mind as soon as you said read, it's going to start to go off super hardcore. The Hunger Games. Old school, right? Yeah. Super thrown off. No. Right? Someone's like, wait, what? From pastor to Hunger Games.
That threw me off. Yeah.
You know why, though? I guess in high school, college, when it was popular. It's not popular now. But that was the first thing that came to mind. Not relevant at all. But I read all those books in like a weekend. I don't know why.
Really?
It was like a big deal. Anyways, outside of that, though, there's some key books. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Here it is. Whether you're a believer or not, this is a beautiful leadership book, especially talking about business and life. It's called Sandcastle Kings by Rich Wilkerson Jr. Game changer. Even a side note, going back to Kanye actually designed the whole the logo and the whole cover. So it's kind of like wrapped.
I haven't heard that. I gotta check it out. It's kind of wrapped
in like a little bit of a Yeezy flow a little bit. So it's kind of cool. And he was kind of part of that book, if you will. But you can definitely sense, although it is faith based, you can definitely sense there's such a beautiful aspect of business and intentionality behind what is life all about. Totally recommend looking that book up, especially if you're considering starting a business or pursuing some kind of business venture. It will be a game changer for making sure your foundation is solid. So, yeah, huge.
I had another one for you, but just
favorite
left.
Food? You want to just ask me?
Favorite Come food?
On.
Go ahead.
Come on. The
Go
best ahead. Food on planet
can you,
Earth.
Can, do you wait? Do you cook?
Oh, you know what? I have cooked cereal a few times. No, I cannot cook whatsoever. My wife is actually cooking right now. Cannot wait to take in some dinner. It's going to be great. But I know she does all the cooking. And another thing to my wife, thank you, Lord, for her, it's crazy. We didn't even talk about cooking because you should talk about cooking if you're dating somebody right now. That's a big deal. Zoe knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
See if that person's good at cooking or not, because you might not be living with them at the time or whatever, and it's like really important to know. You cook at all? Do we have to eat out every single night? And we didn't ask that question, but thank God she can cook and she cooks great. So right. No, I don't cook. But if you're asking my favorite food, I love pickles. I don't know what
pickles.
It is. This, you know, at lunch I was just going in on some pickles. Super weird, but I love it. So.
All right. Do you drink the pickle juice?
Yeah. We just lost 5 followers right there, dude. We just lost 5
just turned
right
it
there.
Off real quick.
I'm also the guy who we, you know, pineapple on pizza, so we just lost 5 more right there. So yeah, dude. Right. It's weird.
I remember. Okay.
Okay. All right.
One talent you don't have that you wish you had.
Oh, this is actually something I think about a lot, which is really funny. I can do a little bit, but not enough. Break dancing.
Really?
Dude,
break dancing.
You, it's super weird, right? Super weird.
Yeah.
That and rapping. It's like a toss up, right? But I honestly think if I could just show up at a party and then all of a sudden it's like that's Jordan, and then I just go into a full head spin, dude, come on. Who wouldn't want to do that, right? That's a game changer.
Okay.
So I actually, true story, I went here. I tore my pants in the butt scene at my wedding doing the worm. True story.
Doing the worm.
True
doing
story.
The worm on your wedding night. That's good.
My stylist said, hey, those pants are too tight. Don't do anything crazy. And I was like, I don't care what you're saying. I want my pants tight because I want it to look nice. I don't want flowy pants. And she was so right. I did the worm, went right into it, torched straight out. A good thing there was only like 10 minutes left in the whole party I was going to exit.
Okay.
But my goodness, it was horrible. So
memorable experience, though.
Yeah.
All right. And last thing, anything else you'd like to say to the people that I didn't ask you about? Any last words?
Yeah. Zoe told me there's, you know, something that you guys talk about a little bit at this podcast. It's obviously about teaching people something, and obviously we always have something to take away and learn. And so hopefully you guys have like learned and taken away something from this, you know, time together. But the biggest thing I wrote, you know, kind of wrote down in my mind, if you will, is breathe and enjoy the moment. I feel like too often, where, you know, maybe right now you're zooming in your car to an appointment or to a meeting or to get home really fast in traffic, or maybe you're sitting and watching this. But enjoy the moment. You know, whether we believe in God or not, that we all have these beautiful moments in life. And I think it's important to breathe and enjoy it. You know, you might be, you know, watching Netflix. You might be, you know, going on vacation or golfing or whatever you're doing. But I think whether you're you know, in a really busy season, or you're really, you know, in a slow season, just enjoy where you're at. It's crazy that this is a cool thought. There's been so many billions, if not trillions, of people who've lived on Earth, and we have the privilege of living right now, right? Living right now in this moment. And so don't take it for granted. Just breathe and enjoy the moment.
I love it. Those are some wise words from a wise friend. I appreciate you coming on. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about you. That was good, part of the podcast. And I hope a lot of people took away some good things. I'm going to shout you out on IG and Sunday Juice Box. And, you know, maybe you will come back on here and, you know, talk more about leadership and business and, you know, your faith and, you know, whatever you're passionate about. I love talking with you.
Sounds great. Zoe, you are family, you're a friend, and you're a beast on the mic. So keep it up. And shout out to everybody who was listening. You guys are family, and I'm definitely very excited to be part of the team.
All right, man. Peace out.
Thanks so much. Peace out.